Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
And today we have a wonderful guest joining us. We haven't had that many guests on.
No.
Her name is Margie Rickle. I like your name, Margie. It's short for what?
Margarita.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. And Margie is the lead consultant at Centering Healthcare Institute. Could you just tell us a little bit about Centering so we know?
So the Centering Healthcare Institute is a nonprofit organization, and we are changing healthcare one group at a time.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving care from the exam room into the group space.
Mm-hmm.
And we found out, just by the way, that you actually have better outcomes if you get your care in a group. So if you're pregnant, you're less likely to have a preterm baby. If you're diabetic, your hemoglobin A1Cs are a nice level line. And if you don't get your care in group, your hemoglobin A1Cs are up and down and all over the place.
That's so fascinating. So Margie is a nurse midwife. So we are talking about women giving birth. It's just so interesting to me. So thank you. We're so glad you're here. Welcome to My Crazy Office. And we have you here because today's topic is about workplace burnout. And we know as a nurse midwife, you know a little bit something about that.
You can help us.
Yes, you're going to just chime in. Our first question involves a nurse midwife who is working 70 hours a week and feeling trapped. And our second question comes from someone who is launching a new program and works 7 days a week, probably 24/7 also.
Yeah, so burnout is very real, and for our listeners, it can be a big toll on your health and your energy.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we'll be able to assist the people who ask the questions and impart a little solid advice.
Yeah, I mean, I think probably a lot of you out there listening have at one time or another experienced workplace burnout.
Yeah.
So, you know, listen carefully. All right, Logan, what's our first question today?
I've been working as a nurse midwife for the past 20 years. In my line of business, you never know when the next delivery is coming. Mm-hmm. I've developed a nice practice, I train other midwives, and I do volunteer work. The problem is that I have a tendency to overbook myself. Last week, I found myself working 70 hours. When I came home, I was noticeably irritable and absolutely drained. My partner complains that I'm never around. My dog has torn up 3 pairs of shoes over the last month.
Mm.
On the one hand, I feel unsupported and resentful that my partner and dog want more from me. On the other hand, I feel guilty that I'm never home, and I'm not really enjoying work right now.
Mm.
How do I change my behavior?
To me, what's so interesting about this is that certain careers lend themselves to this. So I would imagine, Margie, right, as a nurse midwife, I mean, the baby comes when the baby comes.
Mm-hmm.
They don't arrive between 9 and 5. So this is not a traditional career. This is one this is just going to happen, I would imagine, right? So it's part of the career.
It's part of the job.
Right.
I mean, we tell people that it's more a mission than a career. It's more a mission than a career.
Right.
And I know this lady. I don't know her personally, but
you've met her.
I've met her.
Uh-huh.
I've been her.
Uh-huh.
And I know people. I can name at least 3 people right now that are in this place.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine that there's other careers that experience this also. It's not just this career. And I think people that want to get very ahead in their careers also experience this kind of, you know, working round the clock. But it's what's interesting is that it's the nature of, I think, this career that, so you really have to take care of yourself.
Well,
because the career is not going to take care of you.
Yeah, I think it's also pacing, right? Because it has to do with, so in this question, what the midwife is saying is that I have a very good following my practice. This individual, and I think that often happens. If you're very good at what you do, then you are in demand. And I think, and you should correct me, Margie, if I'm wrong, but I think the biggest challenge for someone in this position is to say no.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It's one of the hardest things to do because as people start coming in and wanting you, that's very easy to say, oh, yeah, I'll just take one other one, and I hope you won't come in the middle of the night.
That's right. That's right.
Right.
Yeah, so that notion of really understanding what your limits are and being willing to disappoint someone, which is the other thing you have to do, right?
Absolutely. So you have to disappoint people.
Yeah.
One of the practices I went was in, we went from four midwives covering 24/7 to two midwives covering 24/7.
Wow.
And we did it for 6 months. And but the only way we did it was to say, okay, we're not going to take anybody who walks through that door and isn't low risk and totally committed to having natural childbirth. Anybody else we're not going to take.
Yeah, so you created parameters in a way. You created some kind of boundary that helped define it.
Right.
And that's the challenge. I mean, that's the challenge, I think, in any giving profession, that if you're very good at it, you will be in high demand, and yet you still have to say no in some way. I actually relate to this not today, but when I worked for the Peace Corps. And that's such a funny thing because I was on an island and it wasn't like anyone was rushing around. But because I saw needs everywhere, it was tempting to just keep starting one project after another, after another, after another, to the point of being burnt out. So I think it's built in both to one's character and to certain work situations.
So what's interesting in this question is that it says the dog was annoyed and the partner was annoyed. But what I'm not hearing also is what this nurse midwife, what she was experiencing.
Yeah.
I mean, what are the symptoms of burnout? Like, how do you know when you're in burnout?
Yeah.
No, it's not just that you've been missing. It's that the exhaustion is...
Well, there's it's you never feel rested is one thing that happens.
Mm-hmm.
I think the tendency is to feel constantly irritable after a while. That it's almost like it hurts. You hurt from giving so much, from being so tapped out. Another thing that often comes with burnout is feelings of paranoia, like just thinking, you know, others are against me, or they want too much from me, or, you know, and it's not mean paranoia. It's just feeling like you're failing and others are judging you, even when they're not. And that also coincides with the anger that you don't have enough resources, you don't have enough time, everyone wants something from you.
I would imagine your judgment is impaired also, that, you know, you're not maybe making the best decisions. Which is not a good thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had that faced in a delivery?
Margie's nodding.
She's saying yes with her head. Any been in a delivery when, you know, you weren't sure because you were so tired?
Yeah, but in those kind of situations, I would always call somebody.
Right.
I've found that I could do that. I find that I manage that piece That's much better than other pieces.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm in another situation where I feel as though everybody's pulling on me and I have too much more to do than I can possibly manage, I'm less likely to ask for help, whereas I would call a friend, you know.
Is that something you've learned over time doing this? Or is that something you started out kind of doing?
You know, I think it depends on the situation. If I'm with a woman in labor and I'm not sure what to do, I'm going to take care of her, and if I can't think what to do, I'm going to get help with that.
Right.
Whereas if I'm, you know, consulting with a site and I'm not sure what to do, if in a normal situation today I might call somebody and say, hey, I've got this dilemma, what should we do?
Right.
What do you think?
Right.
But if I'm in a place where I'm feeling as though I'm not keeping up and I'm falling behind, then it's very hard for me to ask for help. It's
right.
Like I start judging myself as being, oh, so the route that I take is, oh, you're too old, you can't think right, and if you ask for help, somebody will find out that you're too old.
Right. And that's it. I'm so glad you said that. That's the paranoia, is that you start to worry and doubt yourself and feel as if you're deficient. That's
right.
A big part of burnout, is that you feel like you're failing, even though usually the demands that you're putting upon yourself or that the job is putting on you are beyond reasonable.
Right.
They're not reasonable. And the other piece of it that I find fascinating is that the more burnt you become, the harder you drive yourself. Like mm-hmm. your mind just says, go, you got to work, you got to keep going. And so it's as if you're your own slave driver, right?
Mm-hmm.
Until you hit this point where you're just completely empty, and then you have to usually take a leave. Or your body may
right.
take
right.
you out.
Right. Right. Well, that's what I think happens to many people in burnout is they get sick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then that's how they stop.
Yeah.
They end up in the hospital or they end up in bed and they can't go anymore.
Yeah.
And then they finally get the rest that they needed. I mean, I've really learned over the years that rest is critical for not just, you know, being feeling better, but also making the best decisions
mm-hmm.
and seeing things objectively.
Mm-hmm.
But this has happened to me also.
Yeah. How did you address it?
I think I waited till I was snapping at people,
yeah.
which is in my character anyway. And I saw that people were avoiding me.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And I started to realize, okay, there's something, you know, it's not working.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the big thing, because the question is, how do I change my behavior? And
right.
what I would say is just the overall theme is that you have to start with slowing down,
mm-hmm.
which is the opposite. You're nodding again, Margie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the opposite of what you want to do,
right.
actually, when you're in burnout, which is the irony, is you want to go faster. But the first thing you have to do is slow down. So whether that means ending your day earlier or going for a walk at lunch, which will seem impossible, but which you actually can do. Or, Kathy, you had given a great suggestion to someone about putting a fridge or something in their office.
Well, he was telling me that he's in such burnout, he's working so hard, that he's forced to eat whatever food is, you know, he can get.
Yeah.
And it's always the wrong food.
Right.
So I suggested that he get one of those small little dorm room refrigerators.
Right. Mini fridges?
Right.
Yeah, mini fridge, right. Yeah, that's what we have. And put it in his office. And he was like, oh, my God, they're available here. Like, I know I can get one
right.
of those. And, yeah.
But that, too, what's interesting, you'd have to slow down enough to mm-hmm. order the fridge and slow down enough to put in some good food for yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's all about that. At least slowing down enough that you can start to do repair. And sometimes you just have to leave, I think.
That's what I did. I left that job.
Well, sometimes you have to leave. But I think that any time that you can do what you need to do to reconnect with your soul and start taking care of yourself and making yourself as important, if not more important, mm-hmm. you know the airline thing where you need to put your oxygen mask on first.
Yeah.
Well, the truth is we all need to put our oxygen masks on first.
Yeah.
And as long as we do that.
Yeah.
We can do it in tiny little increments, or we can take a break to do it, but we have to do that. And so you can't take 4 days off and then suddenly think, oh, well, I'm perfect.
I'm fine.
I'm
going to
be
right.
fine.
Right.
Because you'll go crashing down again very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It needs to be built in as an ongoing thing.
Right. So that comes down to, right, I like when you said that before, put yourself first. Even though you're caring for others, to put yourself first. And we're not talking about in a narcissistic way. We're just saying to make sure that you get the right food, the right rest, the right, what else?
Food, rest, exercise.
Oh, do you know there's the...
Vacation.
Have you heard that analogy? Well, it's not an analogy, but it's the halt. You know, you need to make sure you're not hungry, angry, lonely, tired.
Right, that's right.
Oh, wow, I like that.
Yeah, that's used actually in the land of recovery.
Absolutely.
For when people are coming off of drugs and substances, that they, in their process of recovery, need to never become too hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, or they could relapse.
Oh, that's so smart.
And I think the same thing would be true for burnout, right? Is that, but that, too, initially, I think you may have to take instruction from others.
Right.
Because when you're in burnout, it's very hard to see mm-hmm. how to put yourself first.
Right, right,
right.
Right. And I would imagine that the people that get caught in burnout are the people that don't put themselves first.
Right.
Right.
They're more likely to, I
mm-hmm.
think. And the other thing is that, lost it completely. some.
Oh, it'll come back.
You lose your memory in burnout.
That's right. You lose your memory.
Your thinking becomes fuzzy.
There's also a tendency to isolate, so you're not talking about what's going on.
Absolutely.
Oh, and I think that makes, and even the animals, it feels as though animals that come and put their heads on your knees are asking for stuff. They want something from me. Go away. I don't have anything to give you.
That's a great point. And actually, even if we talked, look at this individual, you probably need to take some walks with your dog, you know?
Right. The dog knows. The dog is saying, you're burnt out.
And I'm going to keep eating shoes until you know that.
If you're not using these shoes to walk me, you can't have them.
That's right. That's true. Yeah, so try for some initial things that put you first, whether it is leaving work at a reasonable hour, saying no, even saying no once a week to one assignment would be probably miraculous at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Eating foods that are good for you as opposed to quick fixes. And definitely spending time with people who love you.
Yeah, like you wouldn't want to eat what's on our snack bar right now. I went a little crazy today and got a lot of chips. Yeah, so you want to avoid that. Anyway, all right, we're going to take a quick commercial break and come back with question number two.
Ever feel like you or your company could use a 20-minute therapy session? Well, K-Squared has your back. Simply download a K-Talk, plug in those ear pods, or gather a group of your coworkers and feel better instantly. Well, almost. Each K-Talk covers a specific topic and costs a fraction of what a traditional therapy session would. Feeling stressed by your workload? There's a K-Talk for that. Working with someone who's done you wrong? There's a K-Talk for that. Can't ask for a raise, need a vacation, hate your boss? K-Talk, K-Talk, K-Talk. Just go to ksquaredenterprises.com and purchase the K-Talk that fits your situation. Now back to our show.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to My Crazy Office and our podcast on burnout. So, Logan, what's our next question?
I have a new position at a human service organization where I'm launching an innovative program. I've been given a low budget and a tight deadline. Until the program generates revenue, I can't hire any help. As a result, I've been working 7 days a week with no vacation and no breaks. I'm so exhausted, but I'm not able to sleep because my mind is racing with things that need to get done. I don't have time to work out, and I'm not eating well. My diet consists of snack foods, French fries, greasy burgers, and Diet Coke. Last week, I found myself snapping at everyone around me. I know that I need to slow down and take vacation, but that's not possible. What do I do in the meantime?
Yeah, we have several clients going through this right now.
Mm-hmm.
Several?
Yeah, we do have several. Yeah, well, people don't call us telling us they're having a great day. Call us to tell us.
No, we always want to hear that. We love hearing that.
Do. Having a great day. Thanks.
Your joy is our joy.
Right. Having a great day. Don't need to talk to you today. No, it's not usually what we hear. So, no, we do have several going through this. And it's really tough. I think it's a dilemma because sometimes when something is time limited, I understand you're getting something off the ground, or like when we're writing a book, well, that's exhausting because it's you've got whatever, we had 9 months to write Mean Girls at Work, and that's a limited amount of time and it's many hours. So sometimes, you make sacrifices and you do that. It's when I think you don't see the end date.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And neither one of my clients see an end date. It's the nature of what they're doing.
Yeah.
And that's what is worrisome to me.
Yeah. So this has several buzzwords.
Burgers.
new position. New position. Launching innovative program, low budget, tight deadline, right? All those are ingredients for burnout, for the thing we're talking about, right? And until it generates revenue, I can't hire any help.
Right. It's also a human service organization,
right?
Which is another thing.
That's right.
Right.
Right. It may never get better.
That's right.
So you have to learn to pace yourself.
Yeah.
And to get things done without killing yourself.
We would like you to do that. We might prefer, but you're stating it perfectly. Yeah, you don't want working with me as killing me.
Yeah.
Right.
So how do you do it? I mean, it's hard for me to believe that you can't build in taking care of yourself. You can build it in. You're looking at me like, no, they can't. No, they can't.
No, I love your clarity, Kathy. You absolutely can build it in. But here's the thing. I think you have to let go of perfection, basically. Mm-hmm. That the problem with a new position at a human service organization launching a program is there will always be too much to do. So you can't expect yourself to do it all.
Right.
You, in a sense, you have to let go of doing it perfectly.
Right.
And you have to, you may have to relook at your deadlines.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, mm-hmm. Margie.
You may have to spread it out because we can't get it done.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And how many of these things are life and death? You know, when I'm a midwife, I can pretend that it's all life and death. I'm saving lives.
It is life. Yeah.
there is that component to it. Mm-hmm. You know, but in the rest of the world, it isn't there.
And it's so interesting that you bring that up because I find that in the business world where it's not life and death, people act like it is.
Yes. Yeah.
And then when you go into an emergency room, they're as calm as can be. So we do lose perspective, I think.
Yeah.
Because people are being paid for it and they're given a mandate. But I think it's your responsibility to yourself to figure out how to pace yourself and how to get, we're not in an isolated world anymore. Food gets delivered. You know, I don't know where this person.
Hello, seamless.
Right. Seamless, fresh, direct. Come on
exactly.
now.
Exactly. Like, I don't know where they're located, but there's every grocery store delivers. So, you know, figure out how to get some salads, minus the burgers and fries, delivered and fresh fruit on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. So here's the problem. I think what happens very often for people is that when you are going full steam like this, you take out all the things that are good for you, right?
Why is this
person is not eating well. He's not working out. There's much of what they're not. And I think that why that is that the mind says, I don't have time for that. Mm-hmm. You know, that I've got to keep going. You can't, and what happens is we need some kind of satisfaction, some kind of relief. So then what the next thing is you deserve a chocolate shake. You know, you didn't get to work out today, so you deserve a treat. Or we have to work extra late today, so you deserve blah, 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 right? So we should watch TV.
You don't ever say that to yourself, though. I just want to clarify this.
I don't know. Catherine likes greasy foods. So I don't know. She
you
likes the grease and the bacon.
That's true.
I don't know. She likes
but
the meats.
Two pieces.
But for her, that might be a treat.
Yeah. Well, but I do. Sure, I have plenty. I mean, what?
Just caught, yeah. Caught, yeah.
When I go on vacation, actually, Margie, I could tell you this, that my first day of vacation, I eat only bad foods.
Really? Yeah. I want to know what that consists of, first
like
of
funny
all.
Bones, you know, those chocolate things that have peanut butter inside them?
Honey bones.
Wow,
they're so
Catherine.
Bad for you. I don't know what that is. I'm going to have to go look that up.
I can't. She could make them and bring some in. For
okay, why don't you do that?
We can add them to our snacks on this table here.
So anyway, but that is the tendency, is if you aren't getting rewards, the ones, the healthy rewards, the working out, the good foods, the time with friends, we will sneak unhealthy rewards.
I sometimes think even when I am being really healthy, I need a reward. How does that
Precisely.
Fit in here?
I ate two salads today. I'm gonna have
a bag of chocolate. You know, now all that Easter candy has got to be 50% off. I'm right there in line.
Right, so then we want those rewards, but then in this case, when you're working so hard with so little reward, mm-hmm. you're gonna sneak the unhealthy ones.
Yeah.
So back to your point.
Well, and it almost can be a it doesn't matter whether I'm doing anything good for myself or not. I'll just eat this.
That's right.
It's like it doesn't mm-hmm. matter. I don't matter.
I think that's a good point.
And there's almost a piece of you as though you're the little part in you that's not being taken care of.
That's right.
Really revolts.
That's right. Thank you.
The
rebels.
Little child. Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
And he wants French fries.
That's right.
Or whatever. Right. No, video games, late night TV, bad TV. Right. You want all the things that aren't really good for you but feel like rewards in the moment.
Right.
And they don't feed your soul.
Yeah.
And right. I really like to describe burnout as being a place where you're separated from your soul and you're not connected with it. And the things you need to do are the things that connect you to your soul. And you know, Joseph Campbell talks about finding your bliss. Well, you have to find that somewhere. Otherwise, you're going to keep crashing into the burnout.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so that's a really great point. So burnout is disconnection from your soul. It's interesting. I think you're right. And you lose the perspective of why you're doing the work you're doing.
Right.
When you lose that connection.
It sucks all the joy out of it, right?
If you're not connected. Yeah, it does.
You have to be connected to your soul and connected to whatever in your soul wants to do in that job.
Right.
Otherwise, at least that's my experience.
Right. That's a really good point. So for this person...
What are the first steps for this person?
Well, the first steps would be to at least try to take care of yourself in some small portion. But I love the connecting to your soul. You could maybe, for example, if for this person going to the gym is something, a gift that usually they would give themselves, just go back to the gym one day or one night a week. Try one small dose of nourishment, right? But do it consistently. And that's really, I think, the need is to find one thing that you can do that's kind to yourself, that has you leave the office and take care of yourself in some way. If you're a photographer, you could take photographs. If you're a singer, you could play and sing somewhere. But do one thing that's nourishing. And get that refrigerator that you spoke of.
I would definitely get a refrigerator. But I also think, you know, you can go see a comedy. Go see a movie that makes you laugh, or a comedy club, or just something to, you know, where you can forget about the stress you're under and think about something else.
Yeah.
See the light side. That sometimes helps me connect.
Yeah.
Good humor.
Yeah. Laughter. Yeah.
Yeah. Something that nourishes you. Understand that, yes, there is a deadline here. As Margie suggested, perhaps you want to renegotiate that deadline. But what matters is that you need to come first again and understand there's not enough that you can do. And I think that's really a big thing to try to accept, is that you can't do enough. There's more than enough.
And it's going to be okay if you negotiate another deadline, or you go home at a reasonable hour and exercise,
right?
Or go and see a play or do something that feeds you.
But you have to take yourself there. In other words, you have to walk yourself out of the office. And there's a term, again, that I've heard in the world of recovery, which is you have to act yourself into right thinking. You can't think yourself into right action when you're in burnout.
Yeah, so I know for me that... I lost my train of thought. It went with yours, Margie. Oh, no, I just lost it.
Are you talking about your workout and sometimes you don't want to go?
No, that is not. No, that's separate. That's a whole separate issue. I do not, by the way, allow
she
my
pleads,
feelings.
She pleads the fifth on that one.
No, I was going to give that as a perfect example. Like Kathy acts herself into right thinking. She works
she
out
does.
More than anyone I
works,
know.
She,
but
she
I don't. There is no excuse, and I don't allow any... How I'm feeling is irrelevant, because I know I feel completely different after I'm done.
Right.
So it doesn't really matter. But that's that's a whole other thing. I totally forgot what I was going to say about burnout. I know that I've learned over the years that when I refresh myself, I actually can do my work quicker.
Yeah.
When I'm tired, it actually takes me longer.
That's right.
So I've learned not to allow myself to get burned out, because I become completely inefficient. I don't think that in the moment. I think I'm doing a great job, but it's not true.
That's right. Yeah.
So that's me.
No, I think that's quite universal, actually, that you need to. And you may notice this as well. If you're in burnout, that you send checks that you forget to sign, or that you send things with a lot of errors in them, or you miss appointments, or you double book things. You know, these are all things having to do with your mind being on overload.
Well, actually, that's a good thing to just talk about before we sum up. What are the signs? Because I think people are experiencing burnout, but they don't know that.
Yeah.
So the signs are what? I think frequent mistakes.
Frequent mistakes, feeling exhausted, but it's not necessarily physically exhausted. No matter how much you sleep, you don't feel rested, right? That's a key indicator. feeling slightly angry and tapped out and unappreciated usually comes with the territory. Mm-hmm. Feeling as if you can't say no. Sometimes people feel trapped, literally trapped in a situation they don't know how to get out of. You also think that you're falling short on every level and you're angry about it. We mentioned the paranoid thoughts of others judging you or thinking that you're not measuring up. And finally, I think you may find yourself just not able to perform your job well mm-hmm. at all. Mm-hmm. Like you think about everything you need to do, but you actually can't mm-hmm. do anything.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's it for our show on burnout, although we can probably yes. keep talking. I want to thank Margie for coming here today and giving us her perspective. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. So tweet us your stories and your advice about burnout to AskK2. Join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast. Review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. And don't forget to send your questions and your stories to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.